Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Help Me Be Me. I'm your host, Sarah Mae Bates. I'm a writer, director, mom, and a breakup coach with an MAMFT. And this podcast is kind of like a personal relationship in that I talk to you like you're my friend. I provide tools to help you feel more grounded, empowered, inspired, and most of all, help you see yourself. This is aimed at creating more harmony and happiness in the relationship you have with you, so you can better guide your life and also be better to those you love. Take what helps and leave the rest. This is not a diagnosis for treatment. If you're really struggling, call your local emergency services. Hi everyone, this is an episode I'm calling To Break Up or Not to Break Up. And it's for people who really need to just process how they feel or just feel good about where they are in a relationship. And like whether or not you want to stay in the relationship or just weigh the pros and cons. It's also to encourage you to work through things with your partner and really think about the ecosystem that you sustain with this other person. Because it can get sick over time if we don't maintain it. And for whatever it's worth, as we change and negotiate what we want, we often feel alone and we feel lonely while in partnerships. And so it's not just about jumping to a conclusion. This is really just to encourage processing what you want to change, what you want to voice. And I think just take this as a format for you to explore what you feel and validate your feelings and accept them. And nothing needs to change. Something could change. It's, I think, just good to be on the level with ourselves. And I think one way to do that, really process how you feel about your relationship, is just to look at your own behavior and your body's reactions as a piece of feedback. And I think our own behavior will tell us a lot more about how we feel than sometimes our own thoughts. And I think we can listen inward and solve things about ourselves by just respecting what we're doing, you know, what our body is telling us. So I will ask you right now, what if I'm just gonna call out your particular body's response, what are you trying to do currently with your behavior? Like, just take note of that. Like, what are your patterns as far as your actions? And just notice whatever that is. Notice where you stand and welcome what that feedback is telling you. Because when we can move from what is true for us, when we can be honest with ourselves and honor ourselves, we can really, in a profound way, we can get closer to our partner or get closer in a different kind of way. Just by popping the zit on what's not being said, if that makes any sense. So, because it exists whether or not we talk about it. It's like that person feels it whether or not you voice it. And so I think when we can get closer to the truth and come out of the closet on what we truly want, nothing bad about that exists. It just is. It's not good or bad. And if we could just accept it and welcome it, and we can draw boundaries around that concept, we can more successfully create the life that rewards us and be respectful to our partner. A major caveat as you listen to this, do not decide something based on what anyone else says in your life. Like, do not make big decisions based on advice or what I say. Like, it really has to be right for you. It comes down to what is really truly right for you. And sometimes that thing will not make sense to us. And sometimes we will want to think differently or we will wish we were somewhere else, but it doesn't make it so. I think to know what you want is one thing. We have to organically align behind that thing to actually get to it without hurting a part of ourselves. And I think sometimes we're only experiencing one side of a situation and we're really just in the suffering. You know, we're really in the I want the suffering to end piece of it, and we desperately want to act, but sometimes the action is just not here yet. Like the right action hasn't arrived for us yet. And in order to get to a place of action, we need to hear ourselves say what is true for us. And we need to be allowed to own that and not be afraid of what that means. So this, I would say, is an episode that's to take stock of a relationship and decide from afar what you choose to do. And there's a little bit also about scarcity mindsets and looking at where that might be operating for you. And know that only you can define and stand up for what you want and deserve. With that, there are three parts: the what, the why, and the how, the tools. Part one, the what. Ambivalence. I mean, to a certain extent, everyone's ambivalent, and I think that's healthy and normal. And that's partly because if we're actively growing, we are also actively growing next to another person, and that person's also growing. And as you do that, priorities change, the stuff that you're dealing with changes. And after a certain number of years, like for example, 5 years, 10 years, you really start to recognize the difference between you and this other person and what you assumed of this other person versus who that actual person is. And you start to kind of digest the terms of the relationship and realize, you know, oh, they are very different than me. That's just who they are. And I think as we also grow into new layers of ourselves, like we might grow stronger, we might grow more emotionally healthy, we grow out of treatment sometimes that we were tolerating for years out of necessity at the beginning. So you might be growing up, you know, you might be growing out of certain things about your relationship at a certain point in time. Either way, I think there will be phases and seasons to any relationship, and what we want changes, and who that person acts as in our life changes, the things that that person's going through change, and same goes for you. So of course there will be stages where you gotta reassess, which brings me to part two, the why. Well, why do people entertain breaking up? According to eHarmony, the top reasons, I mean, there are like 1,000 lists like this out on the internet, but like a couple of the top reasons include lack of communication, 48%, growing apart, 39%, infidelity / cheating, 33%. I find in my audience a lot of people who are in relationships that make them unhappy are often stuck because they cannot seem to believe themselves when they say they're unhappy, if that makes any sense. And so if you feel deep down that you are not breaking up because you don't know why, like if you're like, I don't know, but I'm not happy, but like maybe I shouldn't break up. If you're noticing your behavior is showing you that you are resistant to a breakup, I'm guessing a large part of that has to do with just control. Like I think a lot of people really are not, they're risk adverse. And so they're really like acting from a place of like, here I have control and I'm not putting myself in a state of danger and loss. And as soon as you open the door to possible breakups or talking about the relationship, you're opening up the possibility of losing control over a situation and opening yourself up to threat of loss. So if you are in the suffering of an unhappy relationship, you know the devil, you know, that you're with. You're tolerating unhappiness and you could see the source of the suffering, but it's by your hand and therefore it's tolerable. You could deal with it because it's like, all right, I know what I'm going to get. So we can keep tolerating suffering and not opt to change for years and years and years, even if the actual relationship is not good or we have major unmet needs. So if you are avoiding your partner, you're not working on things, and you generally have more negative to say than positive, I just want to ask you, is that sounding like what the situation is? Do you feel like this is just this is the devil I know kind of situation? And if so, not asking you to change it. I'm just asking, inviting you to acknowledge that aloud and just acknowledge that to yourself, because you can work on that from here. Like if you hold the clay in front of you, you can start to work with it. I mean, just for the sake of imagining it, what if you were to outwardly own that truth and share that truth with your partner and let go of the outcome? Like, what if you instead tried on the perspective of what is the best for both of us? Like, what could create change that would make us both happier? And I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, like, imagine it. Think of the new possible angles that don't feel like they are realistic for you. And I say that because we can leap into a new place of shared reality that feels like air. It just feels like a relief. It's a positive, mutual, loving shared reality. Even if nothing changes, just to share reality can feel liberating and amazing and give you new direction and connection. If you just get clear on like an issue, you expose it to air and you can actually like feel like a new sense of closeness and relief, and then talk about it from that new position, you know? If you are in that position and you're scared, know that you don't fuck up your life by being honest with yourself. Like, you, all your job is to do is to listen to what's true for you and be respectful and kind to yourself and others. But the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. It exists whether you want it to or not. And so you can't talk yourself out of it. You can't like work on that truth not being true, you know? And I believe strongly that in order to keep ourselves healthy and safe and keep our relationship healthy and loving, we have to be allowed to explore what we choose and like have that not be wrong, you know, and like have open conversations with ourselves about what we feel, and for that info to be safe with us. At least have one other person in the world that we could talk to about the truth. It doesn't have to be your partner, it could be anybody, but I think like just allow that to be true for you. And the answer of action, like what the action you need to take, it's different for everyone. Like, one person might be in a loveless marriage by choice and be totally fine with that because they have the routine and that's all they care about. That's their priority. Another person might have like a really passionate, intense sexual relationship with a partner, but not be, you know, like think of them as like a partner for the most part. I mean, I'm not talking about polyamory by any means, but like I do have lots of people write to me and ask me to do an episode about open relationships. I don't have anything I can add to that topic at this stage, but I will say, if you are honest with yourself about how a relationship makes you feel, and that definition is a positive one, then that is an example of knowing yourself well. I think it just comes down to knowing yourself and consistently and honestly communicating with yourself and seeing how things affect you and if they lift you up or if they bring you down, if they reward and reinforce you or if they deplete you. And you get to choose what you like most and stand by yourself and draw boundaries around whatever that thing is, barring anything that is in any way compromising to any other human being. Like, know yourself, and that's all it really comes down to. So at the very least, allow yourself to explore whether or not you want to be in the relationship without feeling stopped or hindered by the fear or the guilt. And I think if we don't permit ourselves to just process our feelings and process what isn't working and process what is working, it's like you start to have this fractured consciousness, like a splintered off existence that actually alienates you more and more from yourself and also your partner. So if you're not honest with feelings, what happens is they kind of come out sideways. And like you might start to be passive aggressive or resentful or distant or unable to voice where anger is coming from or whatever feeling that is. And just know that like whatever feeling you are having, it exists in reality. They're experiencing some form of that thing too. They're feeling its presence on some level. And when we can just be okay with whatever we feel and not judge it, I think pretty great things happen. New places happen for the relationship, for change, for all sorts of things. And I just want to say, whatever's going on, you're not crazy. If you're struggling with this situation as it stands, you're weighing pros and cons, there is a real reason, and it's probably, it's going to sound weird to say, but it's probably worse than you have accepted it is, because know that it's very hard to leave something that is secure. It's not just like someone being selfish or, you know, blowing things out of proportion. Like if it's bad enough that you are ruminating over it a lot, like it's probably worse than you think it is, just because it's not an easy thing to consider. It's like, unless you have trauma around commitment, like you have commitment phobia in some shape or form, I would say most people lean in the opposite direction, which is, I can't leave safety. I can't break something that is predictable. But before I go further, I want to ask another simple question. Squint in and like just give me the most basic first answer that comes to your mind, the most immediate one that in a global sense. How does your partner or how does this person make you feel? First thing that comes to mind, global, squinted answer. Whatever the answer is, just write it down. Take note of it. Just be aware of it. That's all. Which brings me to part three, the how, the tools. But first, a brief word from our sponsors. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As you get older, some things about parenting get a little bit easier. For example, they can wipe their own butts sometimes, and eventually they actually have to learn how to take care of money. And I think kids won't really know how to manage money until they are actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app. It's made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their spending and their saving while your kids build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. I remember I had a few chores as a child, but I didn't really understand savings and I didn't really understand the idea of amassing savings. And I think if I had known that, it would have made me way more motivated to actually work harder. I'm a huge fan of the Greenlight app. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/helpmebeme. That's greenlight.com/helpmebeme to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/helpmebeme. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And did you know that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally? So what's the solution? Introducing an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more, Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. And this includes pollutants like allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. I have a child with asthma, and this air purifier works so well. I can actually feel it in the air when we have our Air Doctor on. It is amazing. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HELPMEBEME. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty off any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HELPMEBEME. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Sometimes anxieties are not rational at all, and a lot of the time we just need to get it out and process it and hear ourselves say it, and therefore we release it. It becomes something that is no longer secretly driving us. And that is one thing that therapy is great for. It's just a safe space to get things off your chest. I personally have benefited from therapy so much, and if you are thinking about trying therapy, I would give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/helpmebeme today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/helpmebeme. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I don't know if you have allergies. I have seasonal allergies, and they can really bum me out because it makes my voice sound different. It makes my whole head feel different. And I just recently discovered Astapro, and I think you should try it. It's pretty amazing. It is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray, and it starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray, and it delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astaproallergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This episode is brought to you by Fearless Finance. Finances can be really, really stressful. They are overwhelming. They're also nebulous. It's hard to even know how to get financial advice or what form that will take. And Fearless Finance is a convenient way to get financial advice without all the headaches, high fees, and commitments that come with traditional financial advisors. Fearless Finance's mission is to make advice affordable and accessible. You meet with your planner virtually, and they charge by the hour, and you only have to pay for the time you use down to a quarter hour. It's also women-owned, and you'll be working with a human planner, not a bot or an algorithm, and you'll develop your financial plan in a collaborative, supportive setting. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free to make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code HELPMEBEME. Visit fearlessfinance.com today. You can chat with a planner for free and make sure it's a good fit, and you'll get $50 off your first planning meeting when you use the code HELPMEBEME. Okay, first tool is called At What Cost? This is a mantra, and it's just like a frame to place around things in your life that you are kind of accustomed to tolerating or trading. And I just want you to recall this sentence, like, at what cost? What are you trading for blank? For example, what are you trading for a feeling of peace, a feeling of safety? What are you trading for your health tomorrow? What are you trading for the majority of your life experiences being positive or negative? And I think this is like a good frame, because a lot of the time we're thinking about right now and we're pushing everything else to the distance. We're pushing everything else to, like, I don't have to worry about it. I'm just going to deal with right now. It's all I can cope with, is just dealing with right now. However, if we can think just like in terms of tomorrow, or in terms of a collective month or a collective year, just remember things from that vantage point, it will change if things are truly worth it. And I think sometimes we talk ourselves out of change because we think it's not worth it in the long run, or we want to be safe or just happy in the moment. We don't want to deal with fear. But if you can remember to look at it from this other bigger perspective, a lot of the time you will know immediately whether it's worth it. If that trade-off is actually making your life better or not. It's a simple exercise. I invite you to try it out. Okay, next tool. The best of times, the worst of times. This is just a reminder, this is how we all work. We will have opposite, inverse experiences of our relationship on different days. And I think one way to check on this and just remember this fact is to put little check-ins on a calendar in your phone that is just for you, like on, let's say, one specific day next month and the month after that. Ask yourself the questions. How do you feel about X issue? Is X issue the same as it was before? How is this, has this changed? Has this problem changed? How is Y issue doing? And just see if it's consistent. You know, it's like we'll see the whole world in a totally different light depending on hormones. Same goes for your relationship based on all the circumstances. Like we're amoebas in so many ways. Like all the circumstances of each individual person's life are like altering all of the ways they act and interact with you. And like how you feel is like ricocheting off of how they feel and respond to XYZ issues. So just be able to see the average of those two things and know that both things are true and that they change. And if they don't change, that's also really important feedback to have. Like, see if it's pretty consistently not good month after month after month. All right, next tool is called guilter. This is a little play on the word filter. A lot of us suffer from guilt that is misplaced. And I think it's usually just a part of our love map. Like, the imprints of values around love and relationships that we were raised with, and or the dynamic we had with our parents growing up and how they parented us. And so if you are suffering from guilt around the idea of breaking up with someone or changing the terms of your relationship, I just want you to give it the guilter. Is the guilt true for you in this situation? Is it current? Or is it coming from something old? Is it coming from a cultural or generational style of upbringing that keeps you small? Is this an imprint from parents? Is this an imprint from past loss? And see, just question, is this a part of my actual adult value system and the truth of what I deem to be right and wrong? And if you are seeing that the guilt is misplaced when it arrives in your body, just label it. Label it as such. See it as, first, I'm having guilt, and then look at the roots. And the goal is not to necessarily see it as like a decision you're making. I think, you know, guilt keeps us safe because it shows us something that we should not do. It shows us something that is like injurious to us and to other people. But sometimes it's like a red herring. It's like what I would call a ghost feeling. It's not accurate to today. And so the goal here is to just get clear on what is true for you and what is just like this old ghost feeling that's stuck in your body. So what do you choose and hold sacred with your actual body and soul? That's really what we're trying to like define the difference between. This stuff is old, this stuff is true. All right, the part two to this tool, another guilter question I want you to ask, is this love or is it just traumatic fear of loss? I think a lot of people have a really hard time leaving relationships when they've had really bad traumas in the past around loss, like premature loss, very sudden loss. And I think a lot of the time, fear and grief get really muddled with guilt, and fear of loss gets super, super intertwined with the idea of a relationship. And so when we're thinking about trying to get out of a relationship, it'll be so overshadowed with all the past losses. It'll be so like all of that grief just gets swept up into it. And so what I'm inviting you to do is just call out if that's true for you. Be aware of all of the different ingredients that are just sprinkled into these feelings and be able to just see the, you know, the list of the spices that are going into this brew. Because I think a lot of the time, although it won't necessarily make us able to jump out of a relationship, if we could be honest about what's happening for us, we can move through things and help ourselves grab tools to get to an outcome that will help us. Example from my personal experience, I had a relationship, I want to say it was like four years in my 20s. I had a partner I really did not like. And I was just so, in retrospect, I'm like, I like really, not only didn't love that person, I really like was annoyed and disliked them like a lot. But I literally stayed in the relationship for years because I was just, I had such bad trauma around loss that it made me incapable of initiating loss because I didn't believe my own judgment of good and bad. Like if I could have trusted that judgment, I could have probably helped myself get out of it. But at the time, I was like, but I can't leave. But I couldn't possibly conceive of a scenario where I would leave because it was just like too triggering. So I'm just saying, see the ingredients to the web, and then we could come up with a game plan around that. Like I would say, if that sounds like a familiar situation, you're best leapfrogging to another relationship as a means to get out of a bad relationship. I digress. Next tool, the role of the past in the present. This is a journal reflection exercise, and this is just to be aware of your love map. We choose others based on how familiar they are to us based on that love map, and that's because we can relate to them. Like they have something that is familiar to us based on early experiences. And I'm just going to ask you, what is your ability to not take other people personally? Like if you find that you are a person that kind of leans codependent, I think one major factor in your relationship imprints from childhood is your nervous system. Like how your nervous system was imprinted by your childhood experiences very much kind of predicts the way you're going to attach and respond to a partner. So there's two steps in this journal reflection exercise. First one, actually there's three. First one, let's isolate the moments your nervous system is overwhelmed by something that is related to your partner and just list them out. I'm talking stress, anytime you feel clingy, anytime you feel really intense rage, anytime you feel like just some sort of intensity where you're panicked. Just write down what's a list of those situations and just like describe a summary of the most common moments and just like what are the scenarios that you get really intense pain that is induced by some situation with your partner. Second prompt, in your mind's eye, I want you to imagine the exact same situation and imagine that you could remove that physical response from your body. And I just want you to imagine now, what would reality look like in that situation if your body did not have that response? Like, would the problem be a very different one? Would it be a much simpler one? It would probably be a lot shorter in its duration and how it affects both of you. And this is really just, this exercise is just to give you awareness so we can grow towards something new in a predictable situation. I think it usually reduces the severity of a conflict or a situation so that we can actually choose a new way of responding. It like opens up access that we didn't have before just to step back and distance from a familiar trigger response that we have. And know that like where and when and how you learned about connection and love and relying on somebody else via the process of intimacy, vulnerability and intimacy, all of the origins of that really affects your patterns in your relationships. And so if you have clear unmet needs and from your childhood, we all do, if you have some clear unmet needs, I just want you to become aware of those and notate those as they recur and just step outside of them. Like I call them like the usual suspects. These are the figures that arrive as soon as you feel fill in the blank unmet need from childhood. Unloved, invisible, desperate, unlovable, etc. All right, and the last prompt in this one is, in your own behavior, is there a negative habit loop that is being unconsciously reset in the day-to-day of this relationship? And I just want you to become aware or objective as much as you can about kind of your default control mechanisms. In relationships, we often default to control that is like very childlike. And it's kind of like, you know, we have this unconscious addiction to being a child and like making somebody bend to our will. And I'm inviting you to do this self-examination as a means to possibly break out of or grow out of childish behavior. And this is how we learn how to be better partners. It's like, oh, I notice I do this thing that's manipulative. I notice that my go-to way of forcing somebody to give me attention when they want attention is I do blank. Just, I invite you to find one of those things in yourself. And then how can we, in the next instance of that thing, grow out of it deliberately and instead honor the feelings of the other person or change our reaction, change our automated reaction. That is how we grow and change. We just notice something and then we choose different. And then it doesn't own us anymore. It's so much of that stuff is just habit. It's just unconscious habit. It's something that's like almost like in our muscle fibers and we just stop noticing it. We stop even recognizing it, especially if you're like, you know, if you had a few drinks, it's like you might as well put on a VHS tape and watch an old movie of your life from childhood because, or DVD. I mean, I'm dating myself with a VHS. You get what I mean. It's like, it's basically, you're going to replay a script that is very old for you regardless, just because it's like, we're going into a certain unconscious state. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. The next tool, the relationship with reality or anxiety. Okay, well, anxiety I think of as in some ways a resistance to processing what is. And like when we are anxious and worrying, there's this resistance to just accept something that is true. Like something, it's usually something that's out of our control. And so I just wanted to invite you to process the truth of that and ask like, where is anxiety operating in your life currently? Like where are you resisting some kernel of information? And what is that kernel of information? Is it a lack of control? Is it fear of a particular outcome? I think that's just like one really instant antidote to anxiety. It's just welcoming acceptance of what's the thing I'm afraid of. I just want to invite the thing into my brain directly. What's the thing I really don't want to have happen? What's the thing I'm struggling to just accept? And then just like practice receiving it and just sit with it and say like, I am okay. I will be okay no matter what. I will be okay no matter what. All right, the next tool is called Actions Decoder. Okay, first things first, let's just examine what your actions tell you, like where you're standing based on just what your body is doing. If you are a bit lost, like you cannot tell how you feel, it's all kind of vague, that is its own piece of information. Like I would say it's showing a map of change that you need to make in terms of just growing connected to yourself, aka maybe do some work in therapy to connect to your gut. It could also be a sign that you are being gaslit, like someone is keeping you off balance intentionally. When we don't understand how we feel or we have like conflicting feelings, sometimes it's because people are creating behavior that is opposite. And so we're constantly like, wait, what? But am I wrong? But wait, but you said, how, what? Just throwing that out there in case it helps. If you think about breaking up all the time, but you do nothing to act on that, and you know you are actively very unhappy, That is also a piece of information. I would say that it's likely there is another priority at play, if that makes sense. Like you may have an older reason around being stuck to this relationship, something that is more binding than you realize. For example, something to do with your upbringing, something to do with a loss. And that's also an invitation to process and work on that. If you are a person who does not feel safe even looking at leaving a relationship, I would guess, as a piece of information, that this relationship is somewhat functioning as medication. Like, it gives you an occupation, and it allows you to feel like you have something to solve other than, like, look at pain inside. I say that as a person who had the exact same problem for many, many years. So if that sounds true, also an invitation to process more deeply, for example, with a therapist. All of this work I'm talking about with a therapist doesn't have to take 100 years. I mean, if you're aggressive about the work, it's like you can power through it and be really diligent about gutting the the ick, whatever it is. Anyway, last actions decoder. If you are just ambivalent, you don't know what you want, you feel different on different days, could you possibly take a break and revisit this from afar? Is there any situation that would allow you to create said break? And I think that's just like a practical way to invite processing. It's not about hurting your partner. It's not about creating drama. It's not about hurting anybody. It's actually the opposite. It's really, I think, healthy for us to be able to think about and see ourselves like with some distance. Sometimes we're like so close to something we can't even tell anymore. Give yourself the opportunity to just try on another world, another mindset, and see if it changes how you feel. It might give you a new insight that you didn't expect. Like, oh, I actually am just really reliving some grief from a long time ago. Or I just really feel burnt out and I have nothing to give anybody, including myself. I don't know. You might find out something different than you think that this is anything to do with. All right, the next tool, I want to just invite you to process how the relationship is currently. So this is a journal prompt. Look at the situation and how you are experiencing it. Like, put it into, I'm going to throw out some categories. If none of these feel right for you, choose your own. Number one, what are you fighting with what is? Like, meaning, are you going through a stage or a circumstance that is causing you unhappiness, as in depression, anxiety, joblessness, a disorder of some sort? Is your partner going through one of those stages? Or are they just a difficult personality for you to tolerate, and like the day-to-day is just creating unhappiness and you're attempting to change that fact, but it just is that fact? Number two, are you in the United Nations of distance? Like, are you in a cold state of peace where you are both kind of, you have no idea how to find a bridge back together, but you are willing to do the work if it were possible, but the kind of patterns get to a point of like such unhappiness that you're both just creating distance between the two of you? Number three, is everything just fine, but you're just unsure if this is your person and you're just kind of existing in a loop, but you're not feeling fully satisfied or connected? Number four, are you truly unhappy and stuck, but major factors prevent you from making a decision or changing, but you are absolutely crystal clear in your head that you do not like the relationship? Number five, is it something else that I haven't listed? Whatever it is, write it down, call it out, and just accept that stage and hear yourself say it aloud. And know that, yes, you can feel opposite ways on different days. And if you don't think you can feel an opposite way, also take note and write it down. Just see it in black and white. I think when we can mark where we are, we can evolve more quickly and travel more quickly. It's just how your brain works. When you see it, you're like, oh, And now I'm moving from this point in all of my actions. All right, the next tool, universal human treatment. This is just my rule of thumb for all relationships, no matter what they are. This is what we all deserve, the end. This just is the bar. You must treat all humans as a universal right to have positive, neutral, non-wounding, non-mean, non-abusive treatment, even if it's a stranger, no matter who it is. And so if you are not getting that, that is a problem. Like, that is a baseline requirement of any individual that is allowed to be in your life. And if that is not happening, remind them that is required. Come back again and again to setting that boundary. And if that boundary is not being maintained, there need to be consequences. Like, we have to have a line. Your line exists. And if you don't know what that line is, or it's been stepped on so many times or crossed so many times, it's like we really have to start with the universal human basic treatment. But outside of that, we have to really write down and know what our line is and reinforce a boundary to not let people cross it. What do I mean by crossing a boundary? I mean, if somebody does not maintain your boundary, you remove access to your mind, body, and soul. You just cut it off. You do not tolerate that behavior. And you close off the spigot that is your attention, your physical person. So if somebody is calling you and harassing you, that means like you're hanging up the phone and you're blocking the number. It's an actual invisible but literal boundary you have to draw. And you can do it in very loving, peaceful ways, but that's kind of what needs to happen. It's like you cannot engage with somebody who is not respecting a boundary and at the very minimum, basic human treatment, basic human respect. Okay, next tool, confidence drugs. I think one thing that's really important to do when you're in a relationship and when you're out of a relationship, but especially if you are feeling attached to a relationship that's not necessarily good for you, we need to continually be adding to our sense of value and maintain the weight in our own shoes, like who we are, what that definition is, what that self has to offer as an individual. And so if you're feeling clingy or low, the best antidote is to add to that definition by doubling down on something you would deem cool or valuable. And it could be superficial. I mean, especially if you are you're feeling super low in who you are. Like if you were to recognize something cool in somebody else, I want you to invite that stuff into your life. For example, rowing. I don't even know what they call that. People who row. You could be a person who rows or take up fencing. I'm picking like lots of elitist things right now, but like, you know, anything that could be an ego lifter, anything that sounds impressive to you personally. Another great instant lift up of ego is volunteering, volunteer work. Also win-win because somebody else is benefiting from that as well. But what this is it's helpful to do it any time in your life, regardless of a relationship situation. But I think what we have to do is just reinforce this description in our mind of what makes us great and what makes us awesome and like what would give us a story to tell to a stranger that we have just met out in the world. It's like, what does this definition have going for it? That is the sense of me. And those are my tools. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you did. You can head to yaywithme.com, check out my other offerings. And if you have the means, donations really help out the show. If you don't have the means, I totally understand. If you could share it with someone, it could help. That helps me as well. In closing, if you are in a long-term relationship that isn't perfect, know that there are none, and there is a chance that this is just due to a midlife moment of sorts when you are just seeing the reality of another person and who they are, and you're kind of reassessing what is valuable about them and what value that we did not expect and what we have to kind of let go of what the values we wanted and what we wanted them to be and accept the truth of who they are and reassess that value and what it brings. And because those values are not what we expected, they can still be good though. I think at a certain point, it really comes down to, I'm talking long-term relationships, it comes down to how capable this other person is of being good at respectful functioning. And like, are their habits, is your routine as a couple sustainable? I think that's a lot of it right there. Because you can love someone passionately, but if the relationship isn't sustainable, that is a massive piece of feedback. And know that you know you best, but I think as a long-term relationship goes, it functioning is a huge piece of it. And just see like how those two sets of habits and functioning like ricochet off of one another and see how you look together after the kind of shine and newness wears off. And outside of that, if you are still not trusting yourself and you're still unsure, like if that is something that's causing you to spin, if this situation is causing you to spin and like just get overwhelmed, you're not underthinking, you are overthinking. And this is not the result of you not trying hard to weigh all of this, the details. Like your feelings are not from nowhere. I see you, I validate your pain, and you're not crazy. Like be brave enough to advocate for the change, own the change that you want, and know that most of the time when we are able to present that in a kind and respectful way, we can double down on a goal of growth and change that is respectful and loving and not blaming, that creates something great and new. So it's not all bad. And you don't fuck up your life by listening to the truth. There are many correct lives, just like there are many correct jobs. Like all things are additive in your life story. So I invite you to explore and respect yourself and love yourself through whatever situation you're in. And I send you my love. And don't forget to smile.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.